bottom of the second hour of the High Tech Texan Show. A happy early Father's Day for all the daddies out there. We spent an hour and a half going over some really interesting gifts, some of which I surprised I could talk about on the radio. I know you dads out there, you crazy kooks. But we got 30 more minutes to give you some ideas. And I want to take a minute to have a segment that has been incredibly popular over the past month or so. And it has to do with law and legal issues, you know, certainly in the area of COVID. There's so many things that are popping up in terms of tenant and leaser and clients and what have you. And one of the questions that I've been getting a lot, saying, hey, Michael, could you ask your law firm when they come on every week to address something about labor employment? You know, I look at restaurants, they're closing, they're opening, they're closing again. Should they get tested? And that's just on the forefront of it. So with that, I go to the official legal counsel and firm of the High Tech Texan Show, Hirsch and Westheimer. They have been around for well over 100 years in the Houston area. And with that, I bring in Eric Lipper. Shall I say the BSD? Is that okay with you, sir?
That is fine. Michael, it's good to hear from you. And happy Father's Day tomorrow. I know you've got plenty of eligibility for the holiday.
Yeah, I acted very cool. My oldest son came in from California, so it's got to be a treat to being with them. If I could get you one gift, Eric, I thought I was the hardest person to buy for. If I could get you, Eric Lipper, one Father's Day gift, what would it be?
100 gallons of 100 low lead.
to put in his plane, I got it. Eric, you have been over the top busy since March. You think that things will slow down, and for some industries, it certainly has picked up, certainly in the legal industry. Hirsch and Westheimer continues to be on a roll with so many, you know, issues and opportunities, litigations, and counsel. I've been getting a number of emails that I emailed to you, and you said, man, this is an extremely hot spot with you guys, and it has to do with labor employment. How big of an issue is this? And obviously, this is something that Hirsch and Westheimer certainly can take care of, right?
Sure. Well, you know, Michael, labor and employment is so important to everybody in our community, especially when we're seeing all the labor dislocation that's happening around town. And it's so important to our community that we brought aboard Derek Flynn to our firm, who is an excellent labor lawyer. And I wanted you to introduce you to him and let you talk to him today about a few labor and employment issues. So, Michael, here's Derek.
I look at these. We're bringing in auxiliary guns here from Hirsch and Westheimer. Derek, welcome to show. Happy Father's Day to you, sir.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Appreciate you having me on with Eric today.
Well, I'll tell you what. This apparently is your topic, labor employment lawyer at Hirsch and Westheimer. Let's start with this. And this is directly from a question I got emailed. Derek, if I have an employee that gets sick on the job, can they file a workers' comp claim?
Michael, that is an excellent question. And frankly, this is one of the largest issues that employers have been faced with right now because of the extremely unique circumstances we're dealing with. But I'm going to give you a lawyer answer to this question. It depends.
Perfectly said, lawyer.
The way it's going to be looked at, if we're talking about healthcare workers or first responders, the answer is most likely yes. But when you're talking about other categories of employees, it's a very murky and fact-specific analysis that you have to do. And that's because under the laws right now here in Texas, viruses are not considered an injury. They've got to be looked at and determined whether or not this is an occupational disease. And that's standard. Go ahead.
Does an employee have to show anything to prove they contracted it, you know, in and out of the office or what have you?
Yeah, they do. I can give you the long legal answer, but I'll make it simple for everybody. So in less legalese, the employee was on the job, was doing work that benefited the employer, and because of that work, they contracted the virus, they're going to be able to file a claim. But the biggest problem is, how do we prove that he actually contracted the virus on the job? And given what we know about, you know, how this virus is transmitted, people that can be asymptomatic, that's the biggest issue right now, is being able to establish, yeah, I got this on the job.
Derek, could the health issues that come with contracting the coronavirus be considered a disability?
Is another great question. In my opinion, this frankly is going to be one of the largest issues that we see coming out of COVID-19 when we finally get past it. And frankly, I could talk to you about this for an hour, but I won't. As we sit here right now, no, because under the American with Disabilities Act and another act called the ADA Guidelines Act, they do not consider viruses to be disabilities because they classify a virus as something lasting less than 6 months on average. So they're considered a seasonal disease. That all being said, given what we've learned about the virus, given what we've heard about the virus from the CDC or medical professionals, World Health Organization, what we're seeing from overseas people that have contracted the virus, this chart shows signs that this virus could really have lasting impacts longer than 6 months, especially on, you know, people who've got immune disorders, underlying health conditions, and elderly. So there's a really strong push right now by pro-employee groups to get this classified as a disability like they were able to do cancer and HIV.
Speaking with Derek Flynn, he is a labor employment attorney with Hirsch and Westheimer, and I know I'm getting emails right now. Stand by. We'll make sure we give you their phone number and their email because apparently there's a lot of employers and employees who want to find out more. Derek, I'm going to go back to another question that I was kind of around about asking two or three different ways. Let's talk about OSHA. What OSHA compliance concerns are there for employers who work in offices, maybe as opposed to construction or those blue-collar jobs?
These people have got great questions. That's a very common misconception of those people that have these so-called white-collar or office jobs that OSHA really doesn't apply to them, and that's absolutely wrong. OSHA applies just about every employer out there. There's a few narrow exceptions, but they're so narrow that we don't even talk about them. But in the age of COVID-19, the biggest issue people are seeing with OSHA is, as an employer, you have an absolute duty to ensure your employees are provided with a safe work environment. So this includes ensuring, you know, keeping the offices free of disease, cleaning it properly, giving the proper notice to your employees if there's exposure or a case of it. You know, our firm, for example, we had a company come in and do a massive disinfecting before we started coming back to the office. And OSHA is taking these complaints very serious. They've actually set up a whistleblower hotline, and the director of the Department of Labor actually put a mandate out to OSHA, said, you need to start enforcing this with companies that are not compliant. I want to add one more thing too. That's another big issue that's come out of COVID, which was not something that was normal under OSHA. When they passed the CARES Act, one of the things they put in there was, if you have employees that contract the virus, you have to keep track of all that, keep the records confidential. But if OSHA comes in, you've got to have those records ready to give to them.
Yeah, I could imagine just the issues of tracking for all these employees for these big companies. You bring a very good point there. Derek, I'm going to get you out of here with this one. And it's interesting that I have an employment lawyer on this show. And, you know, I follow so many news and headlines, which are tough to keep up with nowadays. But just last week, the ruling came out from the U.S. Supreme Court regarding the protection for the LGBT community. Derek, how significant is this ruling? And what impacts do you foresee for the workplace?
Michael, I think to call it significant is frankly really an understatement. This is one of the landmark decisions we're going to see probably in our lifetime. I think when we look back on it, we'll look back on decisions like Roe v. Wade that protected women's reproductive rights, and Brown versus Board of Education that, you know, desegregated our schools on a national level. The LGBT community is a very large and very powerful segment of our society, and they have been discriminated against for a very long time. And frankly, this is the general consensus across the board in the labor employment community. As far as employers, I think employers must get ready to update all their policies and procedures, their handbooks. They need to educate their management all the way from upper level down to the guy pushing the mop in the warehouse. They need to know that there can be no discrimination or retaliation based on sexual orientation in the hiring, firing, or everyday work life. I also think it's going to have impacts on employee benefits. Granted, a lot of insurance policies right now do provide coverage for domestic partners. Some still don't. So I can see this decision being utilized to force employers that have group plans to provide health insurance benefits and the like to same-sex partners. And obviously the threat of litigation is potentially high. You know, I think the best way to put this, I think the court put it very well when they said in their opinion that an individual's homosexuality or transgender status is not relevant to employment decisions. That is because it's impossible to discriminate against a person for being homosexual, transgender without discriminating against that individual based on sex. And your sex has been a protected status since Title VII of the Civil Rights Act was initiated. So this is a decision long time coming, and it's a very significant one.
Yeah, very major decision. Now, I wanted to get your thoughts on that, and I appreciate the candid response. His name is Derek Flynn. He's a labor employment lawyer with Hirsch & Westheimer. And at this point, I thank you for your time, Derek. And I go back here to Eric Lipper. Eric, your job is done. I think the young buck took over to your place. You can retire now, my friend.
It's nice to have such good people around me, isn't it?
It really is. Interesting. Eric, I'm monitoring the email as it is coming in right now. I'm getting no less than almost a dozen right now going, I don't know, but the first six or seven of them we're talking about, someone owns, three of them own a restaurant, and three of them seem to be employees over here, then a few LGBT questions. They have a lot of other questions. I don't want to take much more of your time. How about some information if people do want to contact the great law firm of Hirsch & Westheimer? What can they do to get a hold of you?
Well, the first way to get us is use the old telephone and call us at 713-220-9181 or meet us on the web at www.hirschwest.com. And I'm going to spell it for everybody. It's HirschWest.com. That's HirschWest.com. And next week, I look forward to talking with you. I want to talk about what happens when you sign a contract and all the facts changed. That's going to be our topic.
It's something that happens quite a bit. My goodness, you guys cover everything. Well, after 100 years, Hirsch & Westheimer should cover everything. Well, I know many of my listeners and the people who own companies, they've reached out to you. Folks, this is why they're here. They're here to give you some advice, and they're more than happy to talk to you about potential representation. It's Hirsch, H-I-R-S-C-H, West.com. Start with Eric Lippert, and you know what? He'll probably throw you to Derek Flynn because he knows it all. Derek and Eric, thank you so much for your time. And again, happy Father's Day to you both. Have a great weekend.
Thank you very much. Happy Father's Day as well.
Appreciate it. All right, we continue the High Tech Texan Show. Just about 15 minutes, your final calls and my final list, the top three gifts that you want. But come on, face it, your kids ain't going to get you this stuff. It's Michael Garfield on the High Tech Texan Show.